Is my life more dear to me than what he would have me be? Would I gladly lay aside each dream I hold? Could I count my gain as lost and take up my given cross? Am I willing to be spent for Christ my Lord? Count the cost of one soul lost, without hope and without God, dead forever in a lake of flaming fire. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost. It may cost me suffering in the service of my King. It may be a lonely path I have to trod, but to deeply know my Lord will be my great reward. I will gladly give my all, I've counted the cost.
Count the cost of one soul lost, without hope and without God, death forever in a lake of flaming fire. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason.
There's a reason
to count.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Isaiah this morning. The book of Isaiah. Turn to chapter 6, please, of Isaiah. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 this morning. I'm going to read aloud as you read along, silently, as our custom is. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. As you're finding your place in honor of the Word of God, let's stand to our feet if you're able this morning. If you're not, we understand. Stay seated, but let's bring honor to the Word of God as we read it this morning. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this revelation that you give us here, and that we see, that we just read. Now, Father, I pray that you would help our pastor this morning. Use him to speak to our hearts for what we need this morning, here in this room and across the internet. God, do a work in our lives and our hearts this morning. And then, Father, if there's somebody here in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle that. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, could I get you to check your listening devices, please? I hear a real high-pitched squeal. Somebody near you has got one that's kind of going off or something. Would you have them check that for me, please? We've got about 40 dogs attacking the front door out here. We're whistling them in. That will help us tremendously. I never apologize for preaching the Bible. I'm not going to start now. But I'm going to say something this morning. I for our guests or visitors, if this is not your cup of tea, please come back next week. I'll try and do a better job. Because this is a message that's going to have to do with politics. Yes. Yes. But now listen. Lyndon Johnson signed a law in the 1960s that said that pulpits cannot declare for or against any candidate in an election. Now, we can speak about initiatives, but the law states that we cannot speak for or against a candidate, and that we as a church, for instance, could not promote a candidate or work against a particular candidate. By the way, election day, we're having voting in this church, where it's a polling place. That's perfectly all right. So now look at me very carefully. So I'm going to walk a fine razor edge this morning. Because first of all, the message is this. I'm going to predict to you this morning what's going to happen the day after election. Prophecy. But when we talk about election this morning, can I give you a couple of thoughts on this election year? Number one, vote. Now, Christian, look at me. We are giving this country away because Christians are sitting on their blessed assurance and doing nothing about voting. You understand? Let me give you a few statistics. There are 221 million people in this country who are eligible to vote. 88 million of them will not go to a polling place and will not vote. One-third of registered voters actually vote. That means two-thirds stay home. You have till October the 24th, that's next Monday, to register to vote. If you have not registered, you need to register to vote. Vote. Vote your biblical conscience, not your political preferences. This nation, now look at me, this nation is ruining itself because we're trying to pay a debt that we don't owe. We're going to elect certain people because of their color, their gender, their lifestyle, whatever the case may be. That has got nothing to do with it. We need to vote somebody into office who actually knows what they're doing, which in this election is, it's going to be a miracle. Here's the point. Now look at me, people, look at me. I have kept every piece of literature of political type that's come to my house in the mail. I have it in a file in my office. If you register to vote, you got a sample ballot. Before the election, I'm going to go through every one of those things, read every one of them, read up on the issues, read up. There are 17 initiatives in California on the ballot that will very much impact and affect your life. Now, we need to know what we're doing. We need to be intelligent in what we do. See, I'm not going to read about all those things, for goodness sakes. Yeah, you're the problem in our country. Our ignorance is killing us in this nation. We got people voting on how tall someone is or how they look. Oh, I like this, the way this person looks. That's got nothing to do with it. And the initiatives, when I say vote your biblical conscience, as a Bible-believing Christian, there are principles in this board, the Word of God, by which you and I are supposed to live our lives that very much impact who we would vote for or not vote for. So hang your stinking preferences. You understand? There's still a ring going on. Check somebody's hearing thing over here. If you'll check that, all you got to do is turn it down or something. Now look at me. But the point is this. Well, I've always been a, that doesn't make any difference. I don't care what your party is, what your preference is. Look at me now. You need to consider each candidate and each initiative on its merit based on what the Bible says and what the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God are. This is one of the ugliest, dirtiest elections I think I have ever seen. I've watched all the debates, every minute of them. There's another one coming this week. It's painful. It is literally painful to sit here and watch two people who want to run this country argue with each other about which one's the greater idiot. It is painful. It hurts. Look at me. It literally hurts me. But I listen to every minute of it. Do you understand something this morning, dear people? God's people need to be informed in what they do, and they need to invoke their biblical conscience. There are initiatives on the ballot this year about legalizing recreational use of marijuana, whether or not you can have a plastic bag when you go to the grocery store, limitations on our Second Amendment rights, things like this. You need to be aware of what's going on. Listen, a government that takes your freedoms away never takes it away at once in one lump. They always take little pieces here, little pieces there, little bit of this, little bit of that, and then they take your freedoms away from you. Now we need to be informed people. All I'm asking you to do is take the time. All you have to do is get up to November the 8th and then walk into a polling place and with the Bible conscience on your mind asking God for wisdom, vote. If you do nothing, it's interesting to listen, both parties are telling their constituents, if you don't vote for my candidate, you're voting for the other one. And the truth of the matter is, that's true. So, are we good on that? Good. Now, when it comes to this matter of the election and specifically the presidential election, I've had people keep asking me, Pastor Johnson, or telling me, Pastor Johnson, I'm scared to death. I'm greatly fearful looking at our two candidates, the primary candidates anyway, and considering which one to vote for or not vote for. I'm not here to promote one over the other one, except to tell you this. In the last debate, hour and a half of this circus, it was a circus. I said, to be honest with you, it made me angry as an American that these two people are the primary candidates for this country. And to listen to what they said and how they said what they said. But in one moment, listen to me, in one moment, it helped me to clarify who I'm going to vote for. Now, I can tell you who I vote for if I want to. I'm just not going to tell you who you should or shouldn't vote for. My choice is not your choice. Look at me. If you don't choose the candidate that I prefer, you don't have to get mad and quit this church. Are we clear? If you want to legalize marijuana so we have more of that junk in our streets and more of it in the cars and more in our society, that's your choice, but you're a fool. All you got to do is go to Colorado and see the mess it's created in that state. But the point is this now. Please listen. The point is this. When it comes to candidates, and I'm not going to announce which candidate I'm going to vote for, but you'll know clearly when I'm finished. As I watched the second debate, as they went back and forth and exchanged idiocies, finally one of them was asked, or both of them were asked, who would you choose as Supreme Court Justice? Because the next president is going to choose at least one Supreme Court Justice, maybe two more. That would be three Supreme Court Justices. One candidate stood up and said, I will choose a justice who will support gay marriage, abortion, limitation of rights for people to bear arms. And they clearly announced their candidate for the Supreme Court is going to be someone who's going to continue the agenda of what we could not possibly agree with as Christians. The other candidate, in a semi-moment of lucidity, said this, I will support a Supreme Court justice who will uphold the Constitution of the United States and Second Amendment rights. And I said, okay, there it is for me. See, which one was it? You should have watched the debate. You should have suffered through it with me for 90 minutes. People, look here. The next president of the United States, their economic positions, their positions on world affairs, all of that, quite frankly, is a bunch of smoke and mirrors and a bunch of talk. The president of the United States cannot change the economic condition of this country, nor can he alter what we do in national affairs. There's a balance of power between the Supreme Court, the Congress, and the president, okay? But the president can't appoint a Supreme Court justice. Now, they have to be approved by Congress. My point is this. The Supreme Court basically runs this land. We don't want Supreme Court justices who legislate from the bench. That's not their job. Their job is not to create laws. Their job is to enforce the Constitution of the United States of America. That is their job. That is all. Anything else has created a lot of the mess that's in this country today. That makes no sense whatsoever. Let me push my buttons a little bit further than yours too. Let's face it, we have a choice between a career politician who's got more skeletons in their closet than the Cambodian killing fields and the genocide memorials in Rwanda. And the other one is a pig. You say, well, you're not being fair. I'm being totally fair. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Our problem isn't the quality of the candidate. Our problem is, what can this person do to the long-term condition of this country? And that's a Supreme Court issue, and there we go. So I think you're talking about so-and-so. I didn't announce a candidate. I'm not doing it. I'm just simply telling you what are the principles by which I made my decision, and it stands for me. Now, if you don't agree with that, it's fine. You don't like it? You're wonderful. You're a part of Shasta Baptist Church. We love you. We're not going to put a light on you when you come in to see if you're a Republican or a Democrat. It's got nothing to do with it. I just want you to understand the concept. You say, well, Pastor, what's your prophecy? November the 9th, we will have elected, I think, short of the Bush-Gore debacle, we will have elected a new president for this country. And on November the 9th, here's my prediction. God will still be on the throne. Isaiah 6 and verse number 1, the Bible said, Isaiah said, when the king died, I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne. My hope has never been in the White House. Where has yours been? My hope is not in the governor's mansion. My hope is not in the halls of Congress. My hope is the Almighty God who sits on the throne of heaven. That's where my hope is. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen? November the 9th, he'll still be on the throne. 200 trillion years from now, God will still be God. And when the king died, you see, Isaiah was very close to King Uzziah. And they had not only just a relationship of king and prophet, but there was a relationship between these two men of almost a friendship. And when his king died, his friend was no longer there, and he was gone. Isaiah said, you know what? I lifted up my eyes and I saw God, and God was still on the throne. By the way, that not only works for election time, that works for any time. You know, too many of us today, we got our eyes so much on the horizontal of our lives, and we're seeing so much of what's happening around us in our lives and the issues of what does or doesn't happen that we get our eyes off the fact that there is a God in heaven, ladies and gentlemen. The God, the big G God, the almighty God, the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God, the all-powerful God. He's still on the throne, and God's not running for office, and he doesn't need to get elected because there's nobody like him. He's God, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not facing the election with fear. I'm concerned. I'm troubled by things. I scratched my head. I thought, whoever thought the political system of America would be a Jerry Springer show? Some filth, I haven't even seen it. I've just heard it relate to that. Some filthy, mud-slinging, nasty, stinking, dirty, got nothing to do with what these people ought to be doing for our country. Nothing. It's disgusting. But I tell you what, we have a God who's holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up. My confidence has changed at all. It's not affected at all. I'm not worried about anything. Because see, God is my God this morning. Is he yours? If you know him and you're his child, my friend, you don't have anything to fear. There's no reason to fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God's still in control. God knows what he's doing. I think we have to be careful about that statement. I'm working on a bunch of messages about statements we make that are not scriptural. And one of them is, God is in control of everything. No, he's not. God is in control of what you allow his control in your life to be. But when it's all over and said and done, and outside the free will agency of mankind, God is in control, my friend. Somehow we made it through Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and Obama, and still have some degree of a nation left, some degree. So the next president, I don't think, is going to destroy this country, short of who they appoint to the Supreme Court. My point is this morning. But see, my hope was never there anyhow. And I'm not reading all the political material or listening to everything in the news. Oh, this is so, but there is WikiLeaks on this one, and there is women on this one, and there's stuff on this one, and there's stuff on that one. Don't you get the idea? Politics is a dirty business. It's dirty. It's dirty as a bunch of pigs wallowing in the mire. It's a filthy, dirty business. That's why I do not believe Christians need to be involved in politics other than voting and voicing your opinion. But it's a dirty business. Horrible. Has anybody in the last month, has any of these candidates talked about what their economic plan is? Have they talked about any issue? No. It's all a bunch of little kids in a sandbox throwing dirt at each other. It's ridiculous. So I'm sorry, but I'm not going to vote for one person or the other person based on whether or not I like them or not, or they're in a party I like or not. And the truth of the matter is, when it's all over and said and done, my God's still God. The big G God. He's still on the throne. Everything's all right. Hey, and if you belong to him, everything's all right for you too. God will still be on the throne November the 9th. God's will be accomplished on November the 9th. Yeah, but what if the wrong person gets elected? What if the wrong initiatives are passed? Look at me. Then we get what we deserve. That's how we got the candidates we have. Those are Americans, you know. The last one we weren't sure about, but these two, I think they're Americans. Look at me. They come from the population of the United States of America. An Old Testament statement says this: as the king, so the priest. As the priest, so the people. You get your leadership from your people. That is this country. They're supposed to rise up out of this nation to earn the right to become the leaders of our country. Guess what? That's what we deserve. Whoever gets in there, that's what we deserve. What initiatives are passed, if Americans are dumb enough to vote away their Second Amendment rights, dumb enough to put marijuana legal in the hands of people, if they're dumb enough to do that, if you really think your plastic bag is going to cause whales to die in the ocean, if you're dumb enough to do that, then go for it. But you're going to get what you deserve. And that's what God's will is about. It's about him letting people have what they got coming to them. See, here's the thing. God desires for you to choose to do the right thing. But if you continue to choose to do the wrong thing, he'll give it to you. He'll just turn you over to it. Read Romans chapter 1 sometime. And it says twice in that passage in Romans 1, when it says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful in their hearts. The foolish heart was darkened. And the Bible shows the devolution of man. We didn't come from the monkeys to what we are. We started from where we were in the image of God, and we've devolved to where we are today. And in that process, it says this: and because they did not like to take the natural use for the man or the woman, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's a reprobate. Reprobate means unable to contain the knowledge of the truth. You mess with God, he'll just give you up to it. Fine, then just take that. He's not wanting you to. He'll just say, you want all of it? You can have all of it. An old preacher years ago was talking about how he was, when he was a boy and became a teenager, brilliant. Teenagers are so brilliant. Became a teenager. His dad said, you know, son, you keep stretching the limits of what I want you to do with your life. I'm going to have you go live with your grandfather on his farm for a while. He said, okay. So he goes to live with his grandfather. First day he's there, his grandpa takes him aside and he says, son, from sundown to sunrise, you can do whatever you want. I don't care. Sundown to sunrise. Sunrise to sundown, you're mine. Sundown to sunrise, son, you can do whatever you want. I'll give it to you. That old preacher said, this is amazing. I'm going to get to do whatever I want when the sun goes down. He said, ladies and gentlemen, he worked me so hard from sunrise to sundown that when the sun went down, all I could do was eat dinner and go to bed. That was it. But he gave me every bit of freedom I wanted. I just didn't have the energy to do it. He said it was just that simple. You know, it's amazing how God in heaven looks down at us and says, you know, if that's what you want, hey, if that's what you want, then I'll just give it to you. And then you can see how you like that. God will let you take him out of stuff. He'll step aside and say, fine, if that's what you want. You want to see what it's like to have a society that there's no God in that society? Here you go. November the 9th, God's will still be done because his will be done. And when it's over and said, God will take care of things. November the 9th, God will take care of his children because that's how you've been taken care of to this point, I hope. Unless it's all you, the big you. Unless it's all you. Well, I've been taking care of myself all these years. I feel sorry for you. That, by the way, that doesn't create a welfare mentality where you sit back and do nothing, God drops everything in your lap. Here's what it does. It says God will bless the efforts you have better than the efforts you can have without Him. In Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel chapter 14, God spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, told him, you tell my people, if the sword, that means war, and if pestilence, that means disease, if trouble comes upon my land, he said, if three men lived in my land when it happened, only three men would be spared, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Because those three men took their stand for God and did what was right. That means they couldn't even have saved their children. They could have just saved themselves when the hand of God came down on that nation. I'm not saying just because you're a Christian, you live in America, God's going to take care of you. I said if you're a Christian, you live in America, and you live for God, it'll be God who takes care of you. And hey, excuse me, I'll take that in a minute. All we have to do is our part. God will take care of His. All Mike Johnson has to do is be obedient to the Bible. I don't care what the law says. I don't care how they write it. I don't care whether it's popular. I don't care if they have Pride Day in Redding, California, like they did yesterday, and we're considered outcasts because we won't participate. I don't care what they say. I don't care how politically correct they try to make us be. I'm going to follow the Word of God, and I'm going to stand on the book, and that's just how it is. Because, see, I know, as the old Oki expression is, I know where my bread is buttered. Okay? I know how it works. I know if I do what God wants, God's going to take care of me. You better get that straight in your mind now. One of the previous elections, one of these Hollywood movie star big mouth people said if that particular candidate he opposed was elected, he was going to leave the country. That candidate was elected. The big mouth is still here. Chicken. I'm not leaving America. I love this country. It's my nation, but He's my God, and I know where my bread's buttered. And God will take care of us. If you honor Him and His Word. You see, look, folks, look, you can't expect to leave the Bible out and expect God to be in on that. It doesn't work like that. Then you're on your own, and that's a tough place to be. On November the 9th, God will expect me to live like I belong to Him no matter what. So if so-and-so gets elected, you're going to pray for them? Yep, pray for this president too. Because I'm told to. Didn't say pray for the ones you like. Said, pray for the president. Pray for your leaders of your country. I pray for him. I pray for the president. Barack Hussein Obama. I pray for him. I ain't going to tell you what I pray for him, but I pray for him. Pray for Governor Jerry Brown. I pray for him too. And the mayor of our city and our city council and our board of supervisors. I pray for my leaders because the Bible says that's what I'm supposed to do. Look here. See, I'm still a citizen of the United States of America. That doesn't change for me, whether I like the national anthem or not. I'm still a citizen of this country. And I think you ought to stand for it. Yes, I do. And if you don't like it, that's your choice. It's freedom of speech and blah, 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 and all the rest of that stuff. But the truth of the matter is, it's my freedom of speech to say I don't like it. So Mr. Shrub can do whatever he wants. I say Trump, I said Shrub. Nothing after November 8th will change or alter God's claim on my life. Don't panic. Hey, look at me. Don't panic. Don't fear. Everything's okay. You know why? Because God's okay. And everything's all right. The book's still true. The Word of God still stands. God's in it. God's behind it. God will help us. Even with bad leadership. See, you have to understand something. The Apostle Paul, his king was Nero. One of the most wicked men ever walked this planet. Nero would ride along and be carried along by slaves in his carriage down the streets. And if he saw a child he wanted, he'd stop and rape the child in public. He's debauched. He's way beyond pig man. He'd take Christians and wrap them in leather garments, cover them in pitch, alive, hang them on stakes in his garden and set them on fire and let their bodies be the torch for his garden so he could walk through his gardens. That was the Apostle Paul's king. I'm sorry, but I don't know if there's ever been a time when we've had perfect leadership when it comes to mankind. Never have, never will. But we do have a perfect God. Now, Christian, get your chin up. Okay? Hey, I'm sorry that prospects don't look bright for whatever side you're on of this thing. But then We're going to just do the best we can to vote our biblical conscience, go forward with it, and trust that God somehow may will, maybe we just pray for mercy on November the 8th. Just mercy. But whatever the case may be, would you please do your job as a citizen of this country? And number two, more importantly, do your job as a citizen of heaven and live for Him and let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because the difference isn't who winds up in the White House. The difference is how much salt and light are we? Let's stand our feet, please. Now our heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment. You say, that was a little too political for my preferences. Thank you. Now then, come back tonight. I'll undo the whole thing and just preach the Bible. By the way, I did preach the Bible this morning. And please understand something. You don't have to go out and we don't argue with politics here. We don't. If you find out somebody voted for a candidate you didn't care for, that's their choice, that's their preference, you leave it alone. And I'm very serious about that now. You say, well, how stupid could a person be? That's not the expression we want to use. And we're not taking that tack. See, Assembly Baptist Church's doors are open to anybody and everybody that comes here. Now, let's be clear about that. Now then, let's also be clear about this. Nothing but nothing that man does changes that God's still God. And we've got to keep that in our minds. Just keep it straight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. May I ask you a question? When I talked about Him being God, is He your God? Well, I believe in Him. That doesn't make Him your God. See, the devils believe and tremble. If believing in God makes Him your God, then Satan's God. God is God. Satan's God. No, it's like saying, pointing to someone and saying, is He your father? Well, no, I wasn't born to Him. True. We only have one earthly father, don't we? And one earthly mom. Because we were born to them. If God is your God, then that means there's been a spiritual birth where you were born to Him. Somewhere in your life, there needs to have been a time that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, trusting Him alone for your salvation. But this is an area where we can leave politics completely out of the picture, because here it is. Every sinner needs salvation, and every sinner has one Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. And you must accept and trust Him as your Savior to know the Lord as Savior and have God as your Father. The Bible says we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I'm simply telling you what God said, that's all. It's not my interpretation, not my flavor. Do you know Christ as your Savior this morning, and are you sure? Wouldn't you like to know? I promise you, in a moment when we have what we call invitation here, we would invite you to come. Meet myself or Brother Evans here, and we'll have someone step aside, and with the Bible in the room here privately, they'll go through some scripture with you and you make a decision. No pressure, nobody's going to lean on you about anything. But you need to know that He's your God. Does He love you? Oh, yes. Does He want you to settle this thing and know Him for salvation? Absolutely. That's why Jesus came. Could we help you with that this morning? Child of God, let's yield to the Lord now. Heavenly Father, bless this moment of invitation. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You will settle upon us and that somewhere in the midst of this, the clarity of what You intended to come out will come forth, especially in the matter of salvation. I pray those who maybe today would have rejected some of the message will not reject the Savior. And others today, Father, realize that as a child of God, I'm also a citizen of this land, and I need to vote my biblical conscience, do the right thing. Pray you just help us with this morning. Bless now this invitation moment with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.